Welcome back to Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander. The theme for the month of November is the second annual 21 Maxims to Maximize Your Life. These are thoughts and contemplations to help you begin finding your own North Arrow as you navigate what could only be described as a chaotic 2020. If you want to go deeper than just the audio experience, you can also head to rickalexander.com and find the show notes as well as journaling prompts. Also, that will be linked up in the show notes of this episode. I also did a short show on how to journal if you're new to it and want to check that out as well. It'll be included on the 21 Maxims page of the website. And of course, if you do get anything at all out of these, it would mean the world to me if you would head to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, and just share the show with anyone you think could benefit from the message. All right, without further ado, on to the show. Maxim 18. It's not all right, and that's okay. You know, much can be said about the misery that has been 2020, and much could also be said of the lessons. And though learning through pain is admittedly terrible, what's worse is going through that pain without having learned anything at all. So first, let's recap what we've learned this year. And then instead of incessantly focusing on what's wrong and not knowing how to make it better, let's just try to find out what's true. And then we'll go from there. So before COVID, we were still under the illusion of separateness. See, because no one had any idea how someone eating soup in China could have anything at all to do with another person's small business in North Dakota. But here we are. Many of us also were operating under the preconceived notion that our head could be separate from our body. And that's, you know, we treat our body like machines in this culture. But then millions learn that physical health is virtually useless without mental health. A country that is obsessed with raising mental health awareness found out that attending to it is not optional. Some of us are still learning that lesson and will continue to. And if you're finding yourself amidst a state or a country that's decided to lock its citizens down again, I would just urge you to think about what you might be able to do to maintain a psychological equilibrium. Find things that inspire you, projects that are worth your time, and spend time sitting with yourself and figuring out what you really want. Notice, I did not say by yourself. Sit with yourself. Get to know who you really are beyond who the world expects you to be. Most people whose coping mechanisms involve some sort of escapism are also finding out that the escape button stops working after a while. This is exactly what happened to me in my 20s. I had no idea what I wanted, and I had a deep fear about facing my own power to change my life, and so I got drunk. And then I woke up and got drunk again. And then I did this so often that I realized the escape button had broken. In this moment, when you realize forced unconsciousness is no longer an option, is the very beginning of an extremely rough but necessary road. Some of us are there now. When you're used to escaping and can't anymore, either because your body rejects the coping mechanism, which is kind of what seemed to happen to me with alcohol, or your self-loathing has gotten so great that you can't stand another moment in your own skin, then you'll be ready to take the difficult road that change requires. But not a minute before. And as such, if you're sitting with family that you hope to change, please recognize this truth as well. Not a single person will change, even a moment before they're actually ready to. And even then, it takes consistent effort to repattern our behavior. Now, as depression rates and suicide rates skyrocket upward, I would just implore you to take your mental health as seriously as your physical health, because one without the other is useless to a human being. Mental wellness is not optional. Okay, moving on from the mental piece. We also got to see this year in almost HD quality what happens when certain people aren't given a seat at the table. We saw the bloody and shocking truth about the opportunity for people in power to abuse that power. Further, we learned that some of our fellow humans are still caught in the darkness of believing that some people are better than others because of what their skin looks like. What I want to present to you is that this problem won't be solved by changing what group of people are at the top or what group of people are allowed to speak. Rather, we must agree that all of humanity is absolutely worthy, and there is not a damn thing that can change that. That must be our starting point, because this place where we all come together as humans must be the starting point, or we will watch history repeat itself. And as far as that goes, please understand that when something painful happens, we're given a chance to learn from it. If we do not, if we continue to play this identity politics game, chaos will keep coming, and then will keep coming more. We also learn that diseases are not in the least bit concerned with our inability to treat people well. Lockdown ended with riots in the street and inevitably another huge spike in cases. Now, after the absolutely atrocious presidential season, we also saw what could only be considered an affront to civility, intellect, and leadership. In the United States, at least, we're also now seeing what happens when we normalize accepting the lesser of two evils. Neither lead to a future where goodness is possible. This feeling that we must accept what is given is garbage. If we support people who don't honor our value systems, our soul will feel out of sorts and we will have no one to blame for a world that continues to look like it does now. We also learn that the redemptive qualities of being human, shaking someone's hand, sitting around a table eating with extended family, and laughing with friends are not optional. We found that the stability of routine, habit, and the pursuit of happiness are not to be taken for granted. We learned that value judgments based on job titles are ill-conceived. In a day's notice, a delivery driver and a grocery store clerk can become infinitely more important than a celebrity. We also learned that the way we show up determines the world we live in. When fear runs the program, the world is thrown into scarcity, and suddenly, wiping your own ass with paper that was actually made to wipe your ass becomes a luxury. We saw, though few have understood, that they are directly responsible for contributing to the world that they want to be a part of. We learned that all of humanity had a common enemy and somehow allowed people to turn and blame each other rather than accept that blame is useless and all that truly matters is working together to beat it. We'd rather it was someone else's fault, so we have less responsibility to fix it. What we learned is that the scapegoat mechanism is still strong in the human condition. We learn that health, though often neglected in pursuit of more respectable things such as financial success or fame, is of prime importance. And so, what does all of this mean? Well, I think it means that we're getting a crash course in the fact that loving your neighbor, tending to your mental wellness, and preserving individual responsibility are not optional in this life. These things are of the utmost importance, actually, because if we cannot love each other, right, if we cannot bond in common human decency and the dignity of what it means to be a human being, we're not in a position where we can get better. Some of you remember I did a podcast a long time ago about how the Roman Empire was virtually wiped out by plagues, and it was actually the morality of the Christians at the time, they were actually called followers of the way, who actually learned how to increase survival rates. And the way that they did that was by banding together with each other, not because of what they looked like, not because of who they worshiped, not because of the job that they did, but because rather we're put in this human experience and all we actually have is each other. I think we learned something else too. We want what we want and we want it when we want it. And so oftentimes we think we want more happiness and we want who knows what we think we need in order to get that. Sometimes it's the job, sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's the raise, sometimes it's the project or the deal or whatever. It could go on like this forever and ever. The thing to understand, though, is that this way of living in the world will keep contentment and happiness always at an arm's length away. If you pursue it, it will stay out in front of you. That's what the hedonist learned, is that as you, even if you are able to grasp it and you attain something, you'll eventually fall back to your relative level of happiness. And so your problem is not doing more or being more or achieving more or more at all. Rather than try to increase your happiness, maybe now we're realizing we're at the point where it just makes a lot more sense to improve our relationship to suffering. Maybe we sit back and we realize that these tough times, the best we can do is learn from them so that we can mitigate them. The best we can do is band together so that we have the strength of unity in actually getting through them. And maybe we just recognize that feeling broken is just as short-lived as feeling whole. And we're going to go through many of these. But if we cling and we grasp to everything we do like, and we shove away everything we don't like, and we reject everything we don't like, we end up in this place where we're all very separate from each other, and we're all blaming each other for problems, and we're all looking to find somewhere to put our blame so that we don't have to deal with the extreme discomfort that comes with sitting in suffering and having no fix, having no answer. If we could do that, if we could decrease our reactivity to things, maybe we would then find that solutions emerge from a place of contemplation, from a place of just trying to figure it out and not saying you figured it out when you haven't, right? That's one of the advantages of learning to sit in these places that aren't better, right? Realizing that as a human being, our natural disposition is to escape, it's to leave, it's to do drugs, it's to find things that take us away from our life. It even happens in our religion. I see in Buddhism often people are really concerned with being able to get to the mountaintop and just meditate and get outside of themselves and just not be a part of who they are. And the evangelical Christian church that I grew up in, the whole thing seemed to be about just becoming disembodied. I remember this song called I'll Fly Away. And the whole thing was like, just take me to heaven and rescue me from this world where there's so much suffering and there's so much pain. And while I think that might be, you know, it's valid to not want to sit in discomfort or to sit in pain, another question might be, would we be here if we were not meant to be here? You know, I have to hold on to the fact that I don't believe that's true. I think that we're here to be here, to experience the human thing, to feel the human thing, to learn lessons you could only learn in a place like this where things can go wrong. And that is the price we pay for things to go right. And so we're in this place now where instead of just continuing down this path of rejection and figuring out how to make everything all right or to make everything better, maybe we just realize that things are not all right right now, that we are going through something, that we do have things to learn. And maybe that's okay. And maybe from that place, we'll find that we're much better equipped to solve our problems rather than from this place of reactivity. I don't know. Something worth considering anyway. I love you guys. Hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll talk later on Morning Coffee.